Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. I told you the title of my message is Hold Your Tongue. You can find out a lot about a person by how they talk and what they say. Sometimes we'll judge people based on what we hear, and you've got to be careful because sometimes it's just habit. They have a habit of saying certain things in a certain way, and it doesn't mean they're bad people. They, you know, like construction workers. I mean, yeah, you got the crooks and the thieves, but you got some good people, and the foul language is pretty common there. But listen to what they talk about, how they talk, the words they choose. The greatest indicator of a person's heart is not what you do, but it's how you say things. To find out what kinds of friends you have, to find out what kind of person you need to marry, whether a boy or a girl, man or woman, listen to them for a while and their heart will be revealed sooner or later. Matthew 15:18, this is what the Bible says. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. What comes out of your mouth comes from your heart, and those are strong words. They defile the man. Defile. You know, when you're looking at something that's defiled, it's corrupted. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12 along the same lines. And, you know, it's funny, he's going to talk about the mouth, and he starts off the verse with, O generation of vipers, there in verse 34. So it can't be talking about being, you know, Jesus and what he said, but he said in verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Matthew 12:37, For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Listen, what we say is so important. How you say it. And that's funny, I told you that story about talking to my dad, and he started out, Mom's doing better today. And I don't know, it was just, it was a relief. But then he told me the same thing my sister told me, that, you know, blood pressure's up and slurred speech and blurred vision. That was the other one I was trying to think of. But it was just different. Your words make a difference. My words make a difference. You can bless somebody with your words. You can curse them with your words. You can help people with your words. You can hurt people with your words. And sometimes we don't even know. I used to lay in bed for hours at night and just run my whole day, all the things that I said to people or did, and just, you know, you just want to fix everything. You can't fix the thing. So what do? You just worry for 2 hours at night. And I looked and I was like, you know what? I got to quit worrying about that. I got to quit being so worried about. I mean, here's the thing. Did you mean to say what you said that came across as hurting? No. Then just move on. Apologize if you need to. But don't try to fix everything. I found out when I tried to fix everything, I just broke more things into a lot more pieces. You can't fix it all. Fix what you can and just leave it to God. Otherwise, you are going to be a miserable person. I told somebody, one of the guys, I've been talking to so many people, I don't know who it was. But I just said, yeah, I just enjoy life. I'm happy because, listen, whatever gets thrown at me, it hardly in my life, now I'm, you know, my mom thing, that's pretty rough. I haven't had to go through that much, although she's had bouts with things before but this one is the most serious. And in the midst of it, The outcome is unknown. But I look at all the things I've gone through in my life, and all of them were to prepare me for who I am today and yesterday and tomorrow. Would I go back and go, well, Lord, I'll just go through that one again. I'd go back and I'd say, Lord, don't make me go through that one again. That's how I'd be. But you know what? Those lessons are good. Those lessons help. Look at Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. I'm going to give you two reasons why people get into trouble in Proverbs 17. You get yourself in trouble by the things that you listen to. Listen, we were talking about gossip earlier. If you listen to gossip, you are as guilty as the person that's spreading the gossip. Because you are giving a platform for those words that are hurtful, unnecessary, demeaning, or whatever they are, you're giving a platform for them. You know what you ought to say when somebody comes to you and says, hey, let me tell you about so-and-so. And you know it's gossip. You ought to say, well, hold on, let me call them and then you can just tell me with all of us together. You say, oh, I'd never do that. That's why it doesn't stop. Think about it. Well, let me get them on the phone. Or, you know, somebody will say, well, listen, I tell you something, you promise not to repeat it. Depends on what it is. You know, it depends on what it is. Well, I'm going to go rob a bank. Well, I think I'm going to have to go ahead and break my promise to you not to say anything, you know. In other words, you can't make, you don't go to somebody and say, well, let me tell you this. Listen, you come and you tell me you're going to go kill somebody, I am going to turn you into the police. You understand that? I mean, if you're serious. You know, not like most of you have told me that before. No, just kidding. You haven't. Nobody's told me they're going to kill anybody. But I mean, you know, there is no, you don't get a pass because I'm a preacher. You know, I'm not a priest. And, you know, this confessional thing, you know, you go in the confessional box and, you know, you say blah, blah, blah. And he says, oh, well, say five Hail Marys and I won't tell anybody what you just told me about your adultery, your murder, your stealing, whatever it is. Are you kidding me? That's the corrupt system. You don't get that in this church. Now, I'm not going to betray your confidence. I said murder. You do realize there's a lot of room in between what you can tell me and murder, right? Okay. Just making sure we understand. Proverbs 17:4. You get yourself in trouble with things you listen to. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. And a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. You see how that's turned around on you there? It doesn't say, well, the one saying it has false lips. No, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. A liar giveth heed to a naughty tongue. Wow, Lord, are you telling me that if I listen to that, it's because I'm as guilty as they are? Yes, you are. At times. Look at verse 20. You get yourself in trouble by the things you say. Not just the things you listen to. Proverbs 17:20. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Falleth into mischief. The Bible describes three types of communication. They're bad communication. Three types of bad communication. You can actually say things right, so I don't want you to think this is it. But it's corrupt communication, filthy communication, and evil communication. Let's look at the corrupt communication in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, look at what it says about corrupt communication. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now think about those words. You and I are supposed to say things that edify and minister grace unto the hearers. I've been guilty of not doing that. So have you, I'm sure. But he says, let no corrupt communication. So what do? Well, you stop the corrupt communication that you've been communicating. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3. The next one is filthy communication. Colossians 3:8. But now ye also put off all these. This is what you're supposed to put off. Stop. Quit. Put them off. Anger. But the Bible says, be angry and sin not. So, I mean, again, these are not like, well, I can never get angry because it says put off anger. It's talking about a certain type of anger in the context. Look at what it says. Put off these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. You see, they're all together. But the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Be a forgiving person. Don't just be so quick to be angry. If you're angry all the time, there's something wrong with you. That's what it's talking about. If you have wrath in your heart, malice in what you do. Here's again what I always say. Why do you do what you do? Do you have malice in your heart? If you have malice in your heart, then that's the problem. The problem is your motive. Blasphemy. I cringe when I hear people say certain words, you know, that are blasphemy, using the Lord's name in vain. Using the Lord's name in vain. Now, don't be like one of these teachers that came to me and told me my son had cussed in the bathroom and, you know, she wanted him disciplined. And I was like, wow, you know, he took the Lord's name in vain. I went, wow. I said, Justin, I said, what's going on? He says, I don't know. I don't even know what she's talking about. Then I got to the bottom of it. And I think he said, oh, my gosh. That's what he said. She didn't know what he said. She was just told by the students that came in that he said he took the Lord's name in vain. You get to the bottom of it. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you shouldn't. It's not taking the Lord's name in vain. What it is a replacement. Instead of, oh, my God, you say, oh, my gosh. That's what, you know, but the thing is, don't teach your children that it's taking the Lord's name in vain to use that. Oh, my gosh. TGIF, thank God it's Friday. I don't like that. You know, I don't like people using that. Not in such a loose fashion that you're going to name a restaurant after that when you're going to bring people in and get them all drunk. Not all of them. I've eaten there before. It was pretty good food when I used to eat there many moons ago. But I'm just saying, be careful on how you describe things. If you tell your children that, you know, hey, this is this and this is this, and it's really, you're sort of stretching it a little bit, your children aren't going to be able to distinguish. And they're going to think, oh my gosh, I just said that. They're going to think, oh, that person's bad. I just said it. Is God going to strike me down because I said, oh my gosh? But that's what that, you know, and then this was the teacher from, after she didn't get to teach the next year, she became a security guard in a prison. So, if that tells you anything, but I need to shut up and move on. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. You never know. The third one was evil communication. Evil communication. Now, this one comes with another warning too. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt what? Good manners. You know why people have bad manners? Because their evil communications corrupt those good manners. You are going to draw people to yourself based on how you present yourself physically, whatever, but verbally too. You're going to attract a certain type of people. The result of evil communications is that they corrupt good manners. When you bombard the mind with evil communication, you stand no chance of living godly. You want to live godly? Clean your language up. And we all have to be careful in what we say, how we say it. Look at James chapter 1. James 1, again, this is familiar territory, but boy, that's what preaching's all about. It's not about trying to come up with something new. It's we need to be reminded as to what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We need to be swift to hear. I am not as swift to hear as I should be. Of course, my wife says, you need to get some hearing aids, buddy. I said, no, it's this house. Everything's ringing in this house. I can't hear. You could be from right there, and I can't understand a word you just said. And I'm sure it's the house, right? But I'm working on trying to be swift here. We all need to be a little slower to speak. We need to think about what we're going to say. We need to contemplate what we're going to say. Do you realize that if you'd count to five before you'd say some things, there'd be a lot of things you wouldn't say? I'm just saying. We need to be slower to speak, swifter to hear, and it'll make a big difference. Make a big difference in relationships. Look at James 3. This is for the horse lovers out there. Learn how to bridle the tongue. James 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect, complete man, is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. You realize that if you don't offend in word, you're able to bridle the whole body. That's how powerful that tongue is. I mean, I think this is going to get into it. Yeah, it does. The tongue's a fire, a world of iniquity. Man, that's rough stuff. That is rough stuff. If you don't offend in word, you're able to bridle the whole body. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, is set on fire of hell. Man! You want to know something about the tongue and the mouth? That tells you what it's all about. I have seen and heard people that, man, they can curl your hair with some of the things they say. It doesn't happen to me much anymore, but can't curl my hair. We were coming in from work, and I told Judy, I said, you need to get in the shower first. I said, because, you know, it takes you longer. She said, well, you need to be over there sooner. I said, I'll still be over there sooner. I said, but you need to get in there first. And then I made supper. Sure did, didn't I, honey? Yeah, there you go. I took this yogurt and I threw it in a bowl and I took the mango and I cut it all up, sliced and diced it, and I brought it into her and said, here you go, I cooked supper. And we had to eat something. The night before last, we ate at 8 o'clock, and man, that's so terrible. And then we took the preacher and his family out, and they ended up paying. But then we didn't sleep at all that night either. I've missed two nights in a row sleeping. I am tired. Can't eat late at night. But this tongue, it's a fire. Look at that. Look at verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. Look at this. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Man, I'll tell you, that's rough stuff. But why is it important? You say, well, you can't tame your tongue. Well, no, you know, it's tame, but the tongue can no man tame, but God can tame it. See, that's the point in everything. You can't tame your tongue, but if you submit to God, He can tame your tongue. You know, if I come around you and you're negative all the time, tame your tongue. Tame your tongue. Don't be, you know, where it's like negative, negative, negative. And it doesn't mean you got to turn a blind eye. But if you're negative all the time, there's a problem. And the problem is your heart. The problem is what you're thinking and how you're allowing it to control you. And then you're just spewing it all out. What's the Bible say? The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And then it defiles the whole body. You talk like that, it's going to change everything about you. It's going to change your demeanor. It's going to take the smile off your face. It's going to put the frown on there. And then you're going to wonder, well, why doesn't anybody like to be around me? Well, it's because you're nanny. Well, I don't even know what to say. Nanny no-show or something I was going to say. Anyway, it's not good. Look at Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. Now I want to give you a little positive here. A little positive. Encouragement. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now, I don't get that. Anybody tell me what apples of gold in pictures of silver? I mean, anybody figure out what that is? I mean, I guess it's a picture of silver, which is precious. And then it's apples of gold in the picture. Apples a good thing. Gold's a good thing. Silver's a good thing. Now, look at Proverbs 15. Think before speaking. Proverbs 15. Look at verse 28. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." Look at what it says. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. You ought to study before you answer. But, you know, sometimes we're so quick to give an answer to somebody. I had somebody called me and asked if I would counsel with his son. I said, sure. So yesterday he came in and sat down and, you know, I asked him, you know, we talked and talked and I asked him a lot of questions. You know what I was learning? I was learning to study to answer him. Because you can't just blurt out what's on your mind. You know how most people, you know, let's say you have depression or something. You know how most people deal with that? Just get right with God. You know, there are physiological problems that people have that you can't just say, get right with God. I told him that. I said, listen, you know what the easy answer is? Just get right with God. And you won't be, you know, you won't have this or you won't have that. I didn't say that. Why? I believe because I studied to give him an answer. And then I gave him an answer. And listen, he at one point he said, hey, I don't go out with my friends a lot because they say, hey, you want to go here? And I just tell them I don't want to do that. And I asked him a little bit more pressing on that because he didn't want to get in trouble or do the wrong thing. I said, let me tell you something. I said, you know what? You impressed me. And he did. And that's some of the stuff. Study to give an answer. Don't just blurt it all out. Listen, the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. It is easy to be negative. It is easy to just go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen, it is even going to be more and more easy as this world continues to go down, down, down. I'm telling you, I have not heard a speech from the new president. I hear one's coming up. I'm not going to watch it because I'm just looking at it going, man, I don't need to be negative. All I want to do, I already know what's going on. I know where the thing's heading. I know why, maybe God's judging this country and likely is. We're getting what we deserve a little bit that we got 4 years of a space of grace maybe. But listen, don't let that bombard you into a negativity to where that negativity controls you. Because then you're going to be, you're just going to be a problem to be around. Just take it in, figure it out. Don't stick your head in the sand, but don't let it control you. Proverbs 10, I used to have a guy, they'd say, I just speak my mind. Well, stop. Who in the world wants to hear you speak your mind? I just speak my mind. I'm honest and straightforward. No, you're an idiot. I just speak my mind a little bit. Yeah. No, I'm kidding to some degree. But, listen, Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. He that refraineth his lips is wise. So you're going to speak your mind, right? I'm just going to speak my mind. Now, you know what that generally means. I'm going to be a jerk. I'm going to be ignorant. I'm going to be obnoxious. I'm going to be, I'm just going to tell you like it is. No, you don't need to tell me like it is. You want to tell somebody like it is? Look in the mirror and talk to him. Talk to her. Tell that one what you need to speak your mind about. You don't need to speak your mind. I don't need to speak my mind. Listen, if I spoke my mind sometimes, I don't think I'd be pastor very long. I wouldn't. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable to think thoughts about people sometimes. And listen, I have all good thoughts about all y'all, so don't think anything other. Don't get paranoid on me. I'm just, because I really do. I told my tile guy, I called him. I said, hey, they need the measurements. And he says, okay, well, it's this and this. I said, okay. They called back and said, no, we need all the measurements. I said, I already gave them to you twice. So I called him back. I said, they need all the measurements. Hey, I'm trying to do this tile right here and it's wet. I said, hey, yeah, okay, just call me back when you can. So he calls me back and he texts me the numbers. Well, then today he tells me, he says, I was thinking about what I said and, how I came across. I said, let me tell you something. I said, you can't offend me. I said, I get it. I said, he said, well, I could have handled it a little different. I said, well, next time say this. Hey, I have wet whatever glue on the wall. Let me call you back. I said, and he said, yeah, that's what I should have said. I said, but when they ask you three times for the same numbers, I'm sure it gets a little frustrating. And I was driving, so I couldn't look it up. But here's the thing. Don't speak your mind. And if you do something like that, you can go back and fix it. I'm not telling you not to go back and fix things. We should. If you say something and you're just blowing it all out, clean up the hot air a little bit. Don't shove it back in necessarily. But Proverbs 16. Here's what you ought to teach yourself. Teach yourself not to speak. Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. You teach your mouth and you add learning to your lips. Look at Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. Verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and the man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You want to look really, really intelligent? Shut up. Just kidding. You can't get mad at me when I smile, right? You know, you look at the Bible. I mean, listen, that's why they tell you to read that proverb a day. And you ought to read either 31 Proverbs. So if you read a proverb a day, meaning Proverbs 1, Proverbs 2, and so on, you read, you'll go through those Proverbs 12 times in a year. And let me tell you something. Those Proverbs will talk to you. They'll speak to you. I need to preach through Proverbs sometime. It's amazing that, I mean, just look at what we're looking at here. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. Would you ever think that the Bible would tell you that? But that's true. If you can learn to hold your tongue sometimes. Now, look, sometimes it's time to speak up and speak out. Don't get me wrong. I don't agree with, you know, just taking everything. Somebody, and it's going to get a whole lot worse in society. So sometimes you just got to speak up and say, hey, enough is enough. And then you handle it. You handle it. Look at Proverbs 15:1. This one changed my life. I say that quite a bit, but this is one that did. Learn how to react. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You get in a fight with a spouse, it is hard to fight alone. You know it? So what? A soft answer turneth away wrath. Somebody is just complaining to you. If you were in customer service and they come up and you're just rah, 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 you just disarm them. You just disarm them. Now, I'll tell you this. I had to get upset twice this week, one with the electrician. I need early power, which means they can put my air conditioner in. And so I called him up Thursday because I said, hey, am I on your schedule? That was my first words. Well, no, you already got this. I said, no, I don't. I said, there's not one breaker in the box. And I sent him a picture. He says, I'll have him out there Monday. He was there Monday and Tuesday, put in most of the lights and all the breaker box. And we got approved for early power. And the power company will come up and hook it up to the house. And yo. So I'm not telling you can never be angry and sin not, because you should. Every now and then you got a call. I don't remember who the other one was I got a little bit feisty with. Oh, the countertop guy. You know, I told him, I said, you told me you're going to be the lowest price. You're not the lowest price. He said, how about this? I said, now you are. I said, you got the job. I said, but I need these two pieces tomorrow. They brought me the two pieces. Now, they've asked for measurements 67,000 times because they're not communicating. But then I said, I need these pieces for the niche. They brought them today. Two of them wrong, but they still brought them. All right. Let's finish up a little negative here. Not that I already haven't been, but look at Ecclesiastes 5. I want to show you three more things. Ecclesiastes 5. And I think I already went over this, probably shouldn't repeat it, but Ecclesiastes 5:3, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. We already pretty much covered that one. I guess the other ones we have too. Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. And then Proverbs 29:20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Hasty in your words. Now look, we are all guilty of saying things we shouldn't say. But the whole point in preaching is to help. We talked about gossip at the beginning, and then all, you know, that's my message, basically. I mean, it's your tongue. You know, I didn't know we were going to talk about gossip and it was going to come up. But, you know, here's the thing. If we had a women's group and they were all gossiping, you know, I don't want to get up. I wouldn't get up and try to preach this message. You know what I would do? I'd go to the women's group and say, hey, I'd like to come into the women's group today. And I'd like to give you a couple of scripture. And just listen, ladies, we got a problem maybe. But I wouldn't go, well, we're going to end it right away. Listen, women are going to talk. Oh, by the way, men are too. Not near as bad as women, but only because we can't hear half of what's said to us. So how can we gossip if we can't hear what's being said? Here's the thing. Just take what's said here and, you know, chew the meat. And there aren't any bones, so just it's all meat, it's all fillets, so just eat the meat. That's why you go to church. Really, it is. I'm telling you, I have like a soft answer, turn away wrath. I'd have never known that was in the Bible in my early years of Christianity if it wasn't preached. And you know what I learned? You know, you know what you want to do when somebody says something to you? You want to go, rawr, and then you ratchet the whole thing back up. I mean, I've managed several companies, and my daughter remembers one where we were meeting behind closed doors, me and this other guy, and we were just, and it was all through the halls. But most of the time, I'm controlled, collected, and a soft answer. Because I've learned it doesn't, you know, you just ratchet everything up. So how do you stop from, somebody comes in, ratchet it up, you just do a soft answer, and then it comes back down. And then you can talk. Because if you can't talk and you can't communicate, you're probably not going to solve the problem. All right, stand together.